The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out, about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. On Friday this week, I woke up, I got my coffee, I got my breakfast, and got myself ready to come to work, headed out to my car, and I started pulling out of the driveway, and immediately I recognized that something was wrong, right? And I heard this thump, thump, thump as I started pulling out. And Becky and Elijah were sitting there waving at me as I was going to work, and I stuck my head out and said, "Hey, you know, what's going on out there? Something stuck or something?" And she walks around the car and she says, "Ooh, you got a flat tire." And I have to admit, the first thing that crossed my mind when that happened was, what did I do to deserve this, right? Like, chalk that up on the list of things I don't like about 2020. What did I do to deserve this? I mean, I probably ran over a nail in a parking lot somewhere, total accident, just a fluke, but my mind went to this place of deserving. What did I do to deserve this? I think as human beings, we are so finely attuned to the story of deserving, of earning. Like, we have this like sixth sense or something that we can sniff out who deserves what, so much so that when even something like a flat tire happens, a fluke, an accident, that our brains go to this place of deserving. If you just heard the parable I read, and you have this kind of sense of deserving, like many of us do, you probably noticed this immediately, right? It's obvious to us. The guys who come to work at 5 p.m., don't deserve the same wages as the ones who came right in the morning at 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. I mean, those ones have been out in the sun all day working hard, working diligently, and now these slackers come in late in the day and they get paid the same. I mean, come on, if this was a union job, you bet you'd have a strike on your hands. Or if a loan officer for a landowner's bank was standing nearby, you had better believe that they would have a problem with their financing, because this is bad business. This parable from Jesus about deserving comes actually at the very end of a long section about Jesus's journey to Jerusalem. It's like 12 chapters 8 through 20 in Matthew's gospel. And it's funny, his ministry starts with the Sermon on the Mount, and then it ends on the cross, and it ends with resurrection. And almost everything in between, in that big section of the gospel, is these healing stories and parables. And this is one of the last ones before he's in Jerusalem, and it's about deserving. And I wouldn't have seen this was it not for our Wednesday Bible study on Matthew. We've just finished the Sermon on the Mount. We're kind of moving slowly through the gospel, and we're getting to these healing stories. And it's funny, the first two healing stories also kind of flirt with this idea of deserving or not deserving healing. The first story is a story about a leper. It's really short. The leper says to Jesus, if you would just choose to heal me, I would be healed of this disease. And Jesus turns around and says, I do choose. No explanation, no qualification, no rationalization, no mention of deserving, just yes, I do choose. And then if it wasn't clear how disinterested God is in this human sense of deserving, the next person is a centurion. And you better believe that the centurion is the last person who deserves healing from a Jew, right? He's a Roman. He's an enemy. He's the enemy. And yet without a peep, without question or conversation of deserving, Jesus heals the centurion's servant. And I didn't really see it, but I think it was Dusty, actually, who pointed this out to us. There's not even a mention of earning it or deserving of it or being worthy of it or anything like that. It's just a free gift. No strings attached. You might be familiar with the movie When Harry Met Sally, right? Classic, classic love story, classic movie. And there's a lot to love about that movie. But my favorite part is the part where Sally is crying. And she's played by Meg Ryan, and she's brilliant, right? Meg Ryan does a great job with this character. And she's crying in Harry's arms because all of her relationships have fallen apart, and it feels like the world is falling apart. And she's telling Harry all this stuff. It's finally coming to her, and Harry's saying, no, 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 you're great, you're wonderful. And Sally stops him, and she says, no, I'm difficult. I love that vibe. I'm difficult. She just lets loose and finally says it. And the truth is, she is difficult. If you've seen the movie, you know it. Sally's difficult. When she orders food, she's very particular. She wants this food, but done this way with these substitutions and with this thing on the side, not on top. Thank you very much. Yeah, she's a royal pain in the butt. I love that line. I'm difficult. What a relief just to say it out loud. Maybe each of us can relate in a different way to that line. I might say, I'm stubborn. Maybe you'd say it differently. I'm anxious. Or I'm lonely. Or maybe right now we'd say something like, you know, I'm not dealing with this pandemic as well as I wish I was doing. The thing about those early healing stories is there's no mention of the problem or the malady or the thing that needs to be healed as being a problem. God can handle it. It's not a problem to be difficult or stubborn, actually. I think the real problem, though, is when we begin to pair these ideas of who we are with this human sense of deserving, because what that does is it just creates distance. Right? Distance between who we are and who we want to be. We create this distance, and in the middle of that, all sorts of these really nasty things begin to just grow and fester. Shame, self-loathing, fear. We hide from one another. We hide from ourselves. All that happens in the distance. And this is exactly where I think the story of Jonah is just such a beautiful gift, because it's precisely about this distance. It's about the distances that God will go in overcoming this sense of deserving, in overcoming this distance to get to us, Right? If you remember this story, right? We read the very, very last bit of it. But if you remember the story, you might remember that Jonah's been trying to put himself, put some distance between himself and God from the very beginning of this story. It's a great story. God gives Jonah a mission, go proclaim mercy and repentance to the people of Nineveh, and guess what? Jonah heads the other direction. Why? Because he's just clear that they don't deserve it. So he tries to escape, but God overcomes the distance. And then in the storm, Jonah is pitched overboard and sent to the bottom of the ocean. This is the furthest place that someone who imagines that God is in heaven, right? The furthest place you can imagine you can go from God is the bottom of the ocean. And guess what? God overcomes the distance. Do you see the theme? And so we meet the prophet here at the end of this story. And he's just so angry. He might as well be saying, I'm difficult. He's angry because the Ninevites are Assyrians. These are the enemies of the people of God. They've raided God's people's land. They've killed the people. They've destroyed and conquered Israel and Judah. And to that very human sixth sense of deserving, these people do not deserve mercy, least of all from God. So that when Jonah sees that these people receive mercy, when God is merciful even to Jonah's enemies, whew, we think he was difficult before, right? When God's mercy is on display, he says, I am so angry with you, God, that I want to die. And that's it. That's the end of the book of Jonah. It ends with Jonah really angry at God and God saying, well, you just have to deal with it, man. And so I think there's a few lessons. The first lesson is a really nice one, that God can handle difficult, stubborn, angry people. If God can handle Jonah's anger, well, then God can handle whatever it is that we're bringing. But some would say that's really not the end of the story. In fact, 500 years ago, Martin Luther's pastor, you might not know about him, but his name is Johannes Bugenhagen. That's a fun word, Bugenhagen. Bugenhagen pointed something out. He said, you know, this story, the most beautiful part of this story is what I imagine happens next. Right? Jonah's angry. God says, deal with it. But Bugenhagen looked at the story of Jonah and said, wow, we've seen God overcoming distance and moving towards Jonah over and over again. And then we saw God's mercy for the Ninevites. That's incredible. And then God puts up with God puts up with Jonah. He even loves Jonah when he's a grouch. That's incredible. But Bugenhagen says, wait, if we have this story at all, it's because Jonah must have gone home. He must have returned to Jerusalem, and he must have told somebody the story. He says, that's incredible. He says, that's us. Each week, we come to church, and the truth is we're loaded down with all of the stuff that the world heaps on our shoulders, right? I'm difficult. I'm stubborn. I'm angry. I'm not doing this pandemic well. All of that stuff. We come loaded down to church. But we, like Jonah, are called to just keep telling the story anyway, not to change it, not to tweak it, not to leave out certain parts because we're telling somebody that we don't like, but to tell the radical story of God's mercy over and over and over again, to tell one another, to tell when we're hurting, to tell when we don't feel like acting nice, to tell the story when we're as angry at God as Jonah is, to tell the story of God overcoming the distance and smothering us in grace. Because hearing and telling that story over and over again is the thing that finally breaks down that voice of deserving or undeserving. So let's just tell the story like it is, and we'll be quick about it. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like this. You and everybody else. Whether you show up at 5 p.m. or 8 a.m., whether you're difficult, stubborn, or anxious, the grace and mercy of God are yours, whether you like it or not. It's a free gift. And so with Jonah and all the others who have ever been a part of this story, we say, thanks be to God. Amen.